Cassian, Callias, and Vivian. More. They said the names of my friends like they were horses at a race. Who would last long enough for them to face off? Who would haul the pretty mate of the Lord of Winter back here? Who would break the Morrigan at last? Who would bring home Illyrian wings to pin on the wall? My blood was boiling, even as my bones quaked. I hoped Bryaxis devoured them all, and made them wet themselves in terror before it did. But I dared look behind us once. Mor and Vivian weren't coming to this camp anytime soon. They held off an entire cluster of Highburn soldiers, flanked by that white-haired female I'd seen in the winter camp, and a unit of those mighty bears that shredded apart soldiers with swipes of their enormous paws. Amryn hissed a warning, and I faced forward as we began to scale the quiet side of the Grey Hill. No sign of Striga, though she had stopped here, at the base of the hill atop which the cauldron squatted. I could already feel its terrible presence. The beckoning. Amryn and I climbed slowly, listening after every step. The battle raged behind us, in the skies and on the earth and in the sea. I didn't think, even with Draken and the human army, I did not think it was going well. My hands bit into the sharp gray rock of the hill's cliff base, body straining as I hauled myself up, Amryn climbing with ease. Nesta had to lure the king away soon, or we'd be face to face with him. Movement at the base of the rock caught my attention. I went still as death. A beautiful, dark-haired young woman stood there, staring up at us, squinting and sniffing. A smile bloomed on her bloody mouth. She smiled in my general direction, revealing blood-coated teeth. Striga. The weaver had waited, hiding here, until we arrived. She brushed a snow-white hand over the tattoo of a crescent moon now on her forearm. Rhys's bargain mark. A reminder and warning. To go. To hurry. She faced the rocky path half visible to our left, Ianthe's jewel splattered with blood where it sat atop her head. Strode right to the guard stationed there, who we'd been climbing the cliff face to avoid. Some of them jolted. Striga smiled once, a hateful, awful smile, and leaped upon them. A diversion. Amryn shuddered, but we launched into motion once more. The guards were focused on her slaughtering, sprinting from their posts up the hill to meet her. Faster. We didn't have much time. I could feel the cauldron rallying. No, not the cauldron. That power, it came from behind. Nesta! Good girl, Amryn muttered under her breath, just before she grabbed me by the back of my jacket and slammed me face first into the stone, ducking low. Right as a pair of boots strolled down the narrow path. I knew the sound of his footsteps. They haunted my dreams. The King of Highburn walked right past us, focused on Striga, on Nesta's distant rumble of power. The weaver paused as she beheld who approached, smiled, blood dripping off her chin. "How beautiful you are," he murmured, his voice a seductive croon. "How magnificent, Ancient One." She brushed her dark hair over a slim shoulder.
"You may bow, King, as it was once done."
The King of Highburn walked right up to her, smiled down at Striga's exquisite face. Then he took that face in his broad hands, faster than she could move, and snapped her neck. It might not have killed her. The Weaver was a death god. Her very existence defied our own. So it might not have killed her, that cracking of her spine. Had the king not tossed her body down to the two Naga hounds snarling at the foot of the hill? They ripped into the weaver's limp body without hesitation. Even Amran let out a sound of dismay. But the king was staring northward, toward Nesta. That power, her power, surged again, beckoning, as the cauldron atop this rock now called to me. He gazed toward the sea, the battle raging there. I could have sworn he was smiling as he winnowed away.
Now, Amran breathed. I couldn't move. Cassian and Nesta. Even Rhys thought there was no shot of survival.
You make it count, Amran snapped. And that was true grief shining in her eyes. She knew what was about to happen. The window that we'd been bought. I swallowed my despair, my terror, and charged up the hill, to the crag, to where the cauldron sat, unguarded, waiting for us. The book appeared in Amran's small hands. The cauldron was nearly as tall as she was, a looming black pit of hate and power. I could stop this. Right now, stop this army, and the king before he killed Nesta and Cassian. Amran opened the book, looked at me expectantly. Put your hand on the cauldron, she said quietly. I obeyed. The cauldron's endless power slammed into me, a wave threatening to sweep me under, a storm with no end. I could barely keep one foot in this world, barely remember my name. I clung to what I had seen in the Ouroboros, clung to every reflection and memory I had faced and owned, the good and wicked and the gray. Who I was. Who I was. Who I was. Amran watched me for a long moment, and did not read from the book. Did not put it in my hands. She shut the gold pages, and shoved it behind her with a kick. Amran had lied. She didn't plan to leash the king or his army with the cauldron and the book. And whatever trap she had set, I had fallen right into it. Chapter 74. I gripped my sense of self in the face of the black maw of the cauldron. Gripped it with everything I had. Amran only said, I'm sorry I lied to you. I could not remove my hand. Could not pry my fingers away. I was being shredded apart, slowly, thoroughly. I flung my magic out, desperate for any chain to this world to save me, keep me from being devoured by the eternal, awful thing that now tried to drag me into its embrace. Fire and water and light and wind and ice and night all rallied. All failed me. Some tether slipped, and my mind slid closer to the cauldron's outstretched arms. I felt it touch me. And then I was half gone. Half there, standing silently next to the cauldron, hand glued to the black rim, half elsewhere, flying through the world, searching. The cauldron now hunted for that power that had come so close, and now taunted it. Nesta. The cauldron searched for her. Searched for her as the king now sought her. It skimmed across the battlefield like an insect over the surface of a pond. We were losing. Badly. Seraphim and Illyrians were bloodied at being hauled out of the sky. Azrael had been forced to the ground, his wings dragging in the bloody mud as he fought sword to sword against the endless onslaught. Our foot soldiers had broken the line in places. Kyr screaming at his Darkbringers to get back into position, plumes of shadows flaring from him. I saw Rhysand. In the thick of those breaking lines, blood-splattered, fighting beautifully. I saw him assess the field ahead. And transform. The talons came first, replacing fingers and feet. The dark scales, or perhaps feathers, I couldn't get a look at them, covered his legs, his arms, his chest. His body contorted, bones and muscles growing and shifting. The beast form Rhys had kept hidden. Never liked to unleash, unless it was dire enough to do so. Before the cauldron swept me away, I beheld what happened to his head, his face. It was a thing of nightmares. Nothing human or fey in it. It was a creature that lived in black pits and only emerged at night to hunt and feast. The face? It was those creatures that had been carved into the rock of the Court of Nightmares, that made up his throne. The throne not only a representation of his power, but of what lurked within. And with the wings. Hybern soldiers began fleeing. Helion beheld what happened and ran too, but toward Rhys, shifting as well. If Rhys was flying terror crafted from shadows and cold moonlight, Helion was his daytime equivalent. Gold feathers and shredding claws and feathered wings. Together, my mate and the High Lord of Day unleashed themselves upon Hybern. Until they paused. Until a slim, short male walked out of the ranks toward them. One of Hybern's commanders, no doubt. Rhys's snarl shook the earth. But it was Helion, glowing with white light, who stepped forward to face the male, claws sinking deep into the mud. The commander didn't so much as wear a sword, only fine gray clothes and a vaguely amused expression on his face. Amethyst light swirled around him. Helion growled at Rhys, an order, and my mate nodded, gore dripping from his maw, before he lunged back into the fray, leaving the commander and Helion Spellcleaver to go head-to-head, spell-to-spell. Soldiers on either side began fleeing. But the cauldron whipped me away as Helion unleashed a blast of light toward the commander, its quarry not to be found on that battlefield. "Come," Nesta's power seemed to sing. "Come." The cauldron caught her scent and hurtled us onward. We arrived before the king did. The cauldron seemed to skid to a halt at the clearing, seemed to coil and reel back, a snake poised to strike. Nesta and Cassian stood there, his sword out, Nesta's eyes blazing with that inner unholy fire. "Get ready," she breathed. "He's coming." The power Nesta was holding back. She'd kill the king of Hybern. Cassian was the distraction, while her blow found its mark. Time seemed to slow and warp. The dark power of the king speared toward us, toward that clearing where I was neither seen nor heard, where I was nothing but a scrap of soul carried on a black wind. The king of Hybern winnowed right in front of them. Nesta's power rallied, then vanished. Cassian did not move, did not dare, for the king of Hybern held my father before him, a sword to his throat. That was why he had looked to the sea. He'd known Nesta would land that killing blow the moment he appeared, and the only way to stop it, a human shield. One she'd think twice about allowing to die. Our father was blood-splattered, leaner than the last time I'd seen him. "Nesta," he breathed, noting the ears, the fey grace, the power sputtering out in her eyes. The king smiled. "What a loving father, to bring an entire army to save his daughters." Nesta didn't say anything. Cassian's attention darted through the clearing, sizing up every advantage, every angle.
"Save him," I begged the cauldron of my father. "Help him."
The cauldron did not answer. It had no voice, no consciousness, save some base need to take back that which had been stolen. The King of Highburn tilted his head to peer at my father's bearded and weather-tanned face.
"So many things have changed since you were last home. 3 daughters, now Fae. One of them married quite well."
My father only gazed at my sister, ignored the monster behind him, and said to her,
"I loved you from the first moment I held you in my arms, and I am so sorry, Nesta. My Nesta, I am so sorry for all of it."
"Please," Nesta said to the king, her only word, guttural and hoarse. "Please."
"What will you give me, Nesta Archeron?"
Nesta stared and stared at my father, who was shaking his head. Cassian's hand twitched, the blade rising, trying to get a good shot.
"Will you give back what you took?"
"Yes."
"Even if I have to carve it out of you?"
Our father snarled.
"Don't you lay your filthy hands on my daughter!"
I heard the crack before I realized what happened. Before I saw the way my father's head twisted, saw the light freeze in his eyes. Nesta made no sound, showed no reaction as the King of Highburn snapped our father's neck. I began screaming and thrashing inside the cauldron's grip, begging it to stop it, to bring him back, to end it. Nesta looked down at my father's body as it crumpled to the forest floor. And as the king had predicted, Nesta's power flickered out. But Cassian's had not. Arrows of blinding red shot for the King of Highburn, a shield locking around Nesta as Cassian launched himself forward. And as Cassian took on the king, who laughed and seemed willing to engage in a bit of swordplay, I stared at my father on that ground, at his open, unseeing eyes. Cassian pushed the king away from my father's body, swords and magics clashing. Not for long, only long enough to hold him off, for Nesta to perhaps run, for me to finish what I had let my family give their lives for. But the cauldron still held me there. Even as I tried to come back to that hill where Amryn had betrayed me, had used me for whatever purpose of her own. Nesta knelt before our father, her face a void. She gazed into his still open eyes, closed them gently, hands steady as stone. Cassian had shoved the king deeper into the trees. His shouts rang out. Nesta leaned forward to press a kiss to our father's blood-splattered brow, and when she lifted her head, the cauldron thrashed and roiled, for in Nesta's eyes, limning her skin, uncut power. She gazed toward the king and Cassian, just as Cassian's bark of pain cut toward us. The power around her shuddered. Nesta got to her feet. Then Cassian screamed. I looked toward him, away from my father. Not 20 feet away, Cassian was on the ground, wings snapped in spots, blood leaking from them. Bone jutted from his thigh. His siphons were dull, empty. He'd already drained them before coming here. Was exhausted. But he had come for her, for us. He was panting, blood dribbling from his nose, arms buckling as he tried to rise. The King of Highburn stood over him and extended a hand. Cassian arched off the ground, bellowing in pain. A bone cracked somewhere in his body,
Stop.
The king looked over his shoulder as Nesta stepped forward. Cassian mouthed at her to run, blood escaping from his lips and onto the moss beneath him. Nesta took in his broken body, the pain in Cassian's eyes, and angled her head. The movement was not human, not fey, purely animal, purely predator. And when her eyes lifted to the king again,
I am going to kill you, she said quietly.
Really?
The king asked, lifting a brow.
Because I can think of far more interesting things to do with you.
Not again. I could not watch this play out again. Standing by, idle, while those I loved suffered? The cauldron crept along with Nesta, a hound at her side. Nesta's fingers curled. The king snorted. And brought his foot down upon Cassian's nearest wing. Bone snapped. And his scream. I thrashed against the cauldron's grip, thrashed and clawed. Nesta exploded. All of that power, all at once. The king winnowed out of the way. Her power blasted the trees behind him to cinders. Blasted across the battlefield in a low arc, then landed right in the Hybern ranks, taking out hundreds before they knew what happened. The king appeared perhaps 30 feet away and laughed at the smoking ruins behind him.
Magnificent, he said. Barely trained, brash but magnificent.
Nesta's fingers curled again as if rallying that power. But she'd spent it all in one blow. Her eyes were blue-gray once more.
Go,
Cassian managed to breathe.
Go.
This seems familiar, the king mused. Was it him or the other bastard who crawled toward you that day?
Cassian was indeed now crawling toward her, broken wings and leg dragging, leaving a trail of blood over the grass and roots. Nesta rushed to him, kneeling. Not to comfort, but to pick up his Illyrian blade. Cassian tried to stop her as she stood, as Nesta lifted that sword before the King of Hybern. She said nothing, only held her ground. The king chuckled and angled his own blade.
Shall I see what the Illyrians taught you?
He was upon her before she could lift the sword higher. Nesta jumped back, clipping his sword with her own, eyes flaring wide. The king lunged again, and Nesta again dodged and retreated through the trees. Leading him away. Away from Cassian. She managed to draw him another few feet before the king grew bored. In two movements he had her disarmed. In another, he struck her across the face so hard she went down. Cassian cried out her name, trying again to crawl to her. The king only sheathed his sword, towering over her as she pushed off the ground.
Well, what else do you have?
Nesta turned over and threw out a hand. White burning power shot out of her palm and slammed into his chest. A ploy. To get him close. To lower his guard. Her power sent him flying back, trees snapping under him, one after another after another. The cauldron seemed to settle. All that was left. That was it. All that was left of her power. Nesta surged to her feet, staggering across the clearing, blood at her mouth from where he'd hit her, and threw herself to her knees before Cassian.
Get up,
she sobbed, hauling at his shoulder.
Get up!
He tried and failed.
You're too heavy,
she pleaded, but still tried to raise him, fingers scrabbling at his back, bloodied armor.
I can't. He's coming.
Go,
Cassian groaned. Her power had stopped hurling the king across the forest. He now stalked toward them, brushing off splinters and leaves from his jacket, taking his time, knowing she would not leave, savoring the awaiting slaughter. Nesta gritted her teeth, trying to haul Cassian up once more. A broken sound of pain ripped from him.
Go,
he barked at her.
I can't,
she breathed, voice breaking.
I can't.
The same words Rhys had given him. Cassian grunted in pain, but lifted his bloodied hands to cup her face.
I have no regrets in my life but this.
His voice shook with every word.
That we did not have time. That I did not have time with you, Nesta.
She didn't stop him as he leaned up and kissed her, lightly, as much as he could manage. Cassian said softly, brushing away the tear that streaked down her face.
I will find you again in the next world. The next life. And we will have that time. I promise.
The King of Highburn stepped into that clearing, dark power wafting from his fingertips. And even the cauldron seemed to pause in surprise. Surprise or some feeling, as Nesta looked at the king with death twining around his hands, then down at Cassian, and covered Cassian's body with her own. Cassian went still, then his hand slid over her back. Together. They'd go together.
I will offer you a bargain,
I said to the cauldron.
I will offer you my soul. Save them.
Romantic,
the king said, but ill-advised. Nesta did not move from where she shielded Cassian's body. The king raised his hand, power whirling like a dark galaxy in his palm. I knew they'd both die the moment that power hit them.
Anything,
I begged the cauldron.
Anything!
The king's hand began to drop, and then halted. A choking noise came out of him. For a moment, I thought the cauldron had answered my pleas. But as a black blade broke through the king's throat, spraying blood, I realized someone else had. Elaine stepped out of a shadow behind him and rammed Truth Teller to the hilt through the back of the king's neck as she snarled in his ear, "Don't you touch my sister!" Chapter 75. The cauldron purred in Elaine's presence as the King of Highburn slumped to his knees, clawing at the knife jutting through his throat. Elaine backed away a step. Choking, blood dribbling from his lips, the king gaped at Nesta. My sister lunged to her feet. Not to go to Elaine, but to the king. Nesta wrapped her hand around Truth Teller's obsidian hilt, and slowly, as if savoring every bit of effort it took, Nesta began to twist the blade. Not a rotation of the blade itself, but a rotation into his neck. Elaine rushed to Cassian, but the warrior was panting, smiling grimly, and panting, as Nesta twisted and twisted the blade into the king's neck, severing flesh and bone and tendon. Nesta looked down at the king before she made the final pass, his hands still trying to rise, to claw the blade free. And in Nesta's eyes, it was the same look, the same gleam that she'd had that day in Highburn, when she pointed her finger at him in a death promise.
She smiled a little, as if she remembered too. And then she pushed the blade, like a worker heaving the spoke of a mighty grinding wheel. The king's eyes flared, then his head tumbled off his shoulders.
Nesta!
Cassian groaned, trying to reach for her. The king's blood sprayed her leathers, her face. Nesta didn't seem to care as she bent over, as she took up his fallen head and lifted it. Lifted it in the air and stared at it. Into Highburn's dead eyes. His gaping mouth. She did not smile. She only stared and stared and stared. Savage. Unyielding. Brutal.
Nesta!
Elaine whispered. Nesta blinked and seemed to realize it then, whose head she was holding, what she and Elaine had done. The king's head rolled from her bloodied hands. The cauldron seemed to realize what she'd done too, as his head thumped onto the mossy ground. That Elaine had defended this thief. Elaine, who it had gifted with such powers, found her so lovely it had wanted to give her something. It would not harm Elaine, even in its hunt to reclaim what had been taken. It retreated the moment Elaine's eyes fell on our dead father lying in the adjacent clearing. The moment the scream came out of her.
No!
I lunged for them, but the cauldron was too fast, too strong. It whipped me back, 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 across the battlefield. No one seemed to know the king was dead. And our armies. Rhys and the other High Lords had given themselves wholly to the monsters that lurked under their skins. Swaths of enemy soldiers dying in their wake, shredded or gutted or rent in two. And Helion. The High Lord of Day was bloodied, his golden fur singed and torn, but he still battled against the Highburn commander. The commander remained unmarred, his face unruffled, as if he knew he might very well win against Helion Spellcleaver today. We arced away across the field, to Bryaxis, still fighting, holding the line for Grayson's men, a black cloud that cut a path for them, shielded them. Bryaxis, fear itself, guarding the mortals. We passed Draken and a black-haired woman with skin like dark honey, both squaring off against... Jurien? They were fighting Jurien! Draken had an ancient score to settle, and so did Miriam. We whisked by so quickly I couldn't hear what was said, couldn't see if Jurien was indeed fighting back or trying to fend them off while he explained. More joined the fray, bloodied and limping, shouting at them. It was the least of our problems. Because our armies? Highburn was overwhelming us. Without the king, without the cauldron, they'd still do it. The fervor the king had roused in them, their belief that they had been wronged and forgotten. They'd kept fighting. No solution would ever appease them beyond the complete reclaiming of what they still believed they were entitled to, deserved. There were too many. So many. And we were all drained. The cauldron hurtled away, withdrawing toward itself. There was a roar of pain, a roar I recognized even with the different harrowing form. Rhys. Rhys! He was faltering. He needed help. The cauldron sucked back into itself, and I was again atop that rock. Again staring at Amryn, who was slapping my face, shouting my name.
Stupid girl, she barked. Fight it!
Rhys was hurt. Rhys was being overwhelmed. I snapped back into my body. My hand remained atop the cauldron, a living bond.
but with the cauldron settled into itself. I blinked. I could blink. Amryn blew out a breath. What the hell? The king is dead, I said, my voice cold and foreign. And you're going to be soon, too. I'd kill her for this, for betraying us, for whatever reason. I know, Amryn said quietly. And I need you to help me do it. I almost let go of the cauldron at the words, but she shook her head. Don't break it, the contact. I need you to be a conduit. I don't understand. The Suriel. It gave you a message for me, only me. My brows narrowed. Amryn said, The answer in the book was no spell of control. I lied about that. It was an unbinding spell. For me. What? Amryn looked to the carnage, the screams of the dying ringing us. I thought I'd need your sisters to help you control the cauldron, but after you faced the Ouroboros, I knew you could do it. Just you and just me. Because when you unbind me with the cauldron's power in my real form, I will wipe that army away. Every last one of them. Amryn. But a male voice pleaded from behind. Don't. Varian appeared from the rocky path, gasping for breath, splattered with blood. Amryn smirked. Like a hound on a scent.
Don't,
was all Varian said. Unleash me, Amryn said, ignoring him. Let me end this. I began shaking my head. You will be gone. You said you won't remember us. You won't be you anymore if you're freed. Amryn smiled slightly. At me, at Varian. I watched them for so many eons. Humans in my world. There were humans, too. And I watched them love and hate, wage senseless war and find precious peace. Watched them build lives, build worlds. I was never allowed such things. I had not been designed that way, had not been ordered to do so. So I watched. And that day I came here. It was the first selfish thing I had done. For a long, long while I thought it was punishment for disobeying my father's orders, for wanting. I thought this world was some hell he'd locked me into for disobedience. Amryn swallowed. But I think... I wonder if my father knew... If he saw how I watched them love and hate and build, and opened that rip in the world not as a punishment, but as a gift. Her eyes gleamed. For it has been a gift. This time, with you, with all of you, it has been a gift.
Amryn,
Varian said, and sank onto his knees.
I am begging you.
Tell the High Lord,
she said softly, to leave out a cup for me. I did not think I had it in my heart for another ounce of sorrow. I gripped the cauldron a little harder, my throat thick. I will. She looked to Varian, a wry smile on her red mouth.
I watched them most. The humans who loved.
I never understood it. How it happened, why it happened. She paused a step away from the cauldron.
I think I might have learned with you, though. Perhaps that was a last gift, too.
Varian's face twisted with anguish, but he made no further move to stop her. She turned to me and spoke the words into my head. The spell I must think and feel and do. I nodded.
When I am free, Amryn said to us, do not run. It will attract my attention.
She lifted a steady hand toward my arm.
I am glad we met, Feyre.
I smiled at her, bowing my head.
Me too, Amryn. Me too.
Amryn grabbed my wrist and swung herself into the cauldron. I fought. I fought with every breath to get through the spell, my arm half submerged in the cauldron as Amryn went under the dark water that had filled it. I said the words with my tongue, said them with my heart and blood and bones, screamed them. Her hand vanished from my arm, melting away like dew under the morning sun. The spell ended, shuddering out of me, and I snapped back, losing my hold on the cauldron. Varian caught me before I fell, and gripped me hard as we gazed at the black mass of the cauldron, the still surface. He breathed.
Is she?
It started far, far beneath us, as if she had gone to the Earth's core. I let Varian haul me a few steps away as the ripple thundered up through the ground, spearing for us. The cauldron. We had only enough time to throw ourselves behind the nearest rock when it hit us. The cauldron shattered into three pieces, peeling apart like a blossoming flower. And then she came. She exploded from that mortal shell, light blinding us, light and fire. She was roaring, in victory and rage and pain. And I could have sworn I saw great burning wings, each feather a simmering ember spread wide. Could have sworn a crown of incandescent light floated just above her flaming hair. She paused. The thing that was inside Amryn paused. Looked at us. At the battlefield, and all of our friends, our family still fighting on it. As if to say, I remember you. And then she was gone. She spread those wings, flame and light rippling to encompass her, no more than a burning behemoth that swept down upon Highburn's armies. They began running. Amryn came down on them like a hammer, raining fire and brimstone. She swept through them, burning them, drinking in their death. Some died at the mere whisper of her passing. I heard Rhys bellowing, and the sound was the same as hers, victory and rage and pain, and warning. A warning not to run from her. Bit by bit, she destroyed that endless Highburn army. Bit by bit, she wiped away their taint, their threat, the suffering they had brought. She shattered through that Highburn commander, poised to strike Helion a death blow. Shattered through that commander, as if he were made of glass. She left only ashes behind. But that power, it was fading, vanishing ember by ember. Yet Amryn went to the sea, where my father and Vass's army battled alongside Miriam's people. Entire boats full of Highburn soldiers fell still after she passed, as if she had inhaled the life right out of them, even while her own life sputtered out. Amryn reached the final boat, the very last ship of our enemy, and was no more than a flame on the breeze. And when that ship too fell silent, there was only light. Bright, clean light, dancing on the waves. Chapter 76. Tears slid down Varian's blood-flecked skin as we watched that spot on the sea where Amryn had vanished. Below, beyond, our forces were beginning to cry out with victory,
With joy. Up on the rock, utter quiet. I looked at last toward the broken thirds of the cauldron. Perhaps I had done it. In unbinding her, I had unbound the cauldron. Or perhaps Amryn in her unleashed power. Even that had been too great for the cauldron. We should go, I said to Varian. The others would be looking for us. I had to get to my father, had to bury him, help Cassian, had to see who else was among the dead, or living. Hollow. I was so tired and hollow. I managed to stand, to take one step before I felt it. The thing in the cauldron. Or lack of it. It was lack and substance. Absence and presence, and it was leaking into the world. I dared a step toward it, and what I beheld in those ruins of the cauldron, it was a void, but also not a void, a growth. It did not belong here, belong anywhere. There were hands at my face, turning me, touching me. Are you hurt? Are you? Rhys's face was battered, bloody. His hands were still tipped in talons, his canine still elongated, barely out of that beast form. You freed her. He was stammering, shaking. I wasn't entirely sure how he was even standing. I didn't know where to begin, how to explain. I let him see into my mind. His presence gentle, and exhausted as I was. I let him see my father, Nesta and Cassian, the king and Amryn. All of it. Including that thing behind us, that hole. Rhys folded me into his arms, just for a moment. We have a problem, Varian murmured, pointing behind us. We followed the line of his finger, to where that fissure in the world within the shards of the cauldron. It was growing. The cauldron could never be destroyed. We had been warned, because our very world was bound to it. If the cauldron were destroyed, we would be too. What have I done? I breathed. I had saved our friends. Only to damn us all. Made and unmade. I had broken it. I could remake it again. I ran for the book, flipping open the pages. But the gold was engraved with symbols only one being on this earth knew how to read, and she was gone. I hurled the damn thing into the void inside the cauldron. It vanished and did not appear again.
Well, that's one way to try.
Rhys said. I whirled at the humor, but his face was hard, grim. I don't know what to do, I whispered. Rhys studied the ruins.
Amryn said you were a conduit.
I nodded.
So be one again.
What? He looked at me like I was the insane one as he said,
Remake the cauldron. Forge it anew.
With what power?
My own.
You're drained, Rhys. So am I. We all are.
Try. Humor me.
I blinked, that edge of panic dulling a bit. Yes. Yes, with him, with my mate. I thought through the spell Amryn had shown me. If I changed one small thing... It was a gamble, but it might work. Better than nothing, I said, blowing out a breath.
That's the spirit.
Humor danced in his eyes. The dead lay around us for miles. Cries of the wounded and grieving starting to rise up. But we had stopped Highburn. Stopped the king. Perhaps in this we would be lucky too. I reached for him, with my hand, my mind,
His shields were up. Solid walls he'd erected during battle.
I brushed a hand along one, but it remained. Rhys smiled down at me, kissed me once.
Remind me to never get on Nesta's bad side.
That he could even joke. No, it was a form of enduring. For both of us. Because the alternative to laughter? Varian's devastated face, watching us silently, was the alternative. And with this thing before us? This final task? So I managed to laugh. And I was still smiling, just a bit, when I again laid my hand on the broken shards of the cauldron. It was a hole, airless. No life could exist here. No light. It was what had existed at the beginning, before all things had exploded from it. It did not belong here. Maybe one day, when the earth had grown old and died, when the stars had vanished too, maybe then we would return to this place. Not today, not now. I was both form and nothing. And behind me, Rhys's power was a tether, an unending lightning strike that surged from me into this place, to be shaped as I willed it, made and unmade. From a distant corner of my memory, my human mind, I remembered a mural I had seen at the Spring Court, tucked away in a dusty, unused library. It told the story of Prithian. It told the story of a cauldron. This cauldron. And when it was held by female hands, all life flowed from it. I reached mine out, Rhys's power rippling through me. United, joined as one. Ask and answer. I was not afraid. Not with him there. I cupped my hands as if the cracked thirds of the cauldron could fit into them, the entire universe into the palm of my hand. I began to speak that last spell Amarin had found us. Speak and think and feel it. Word and breath and blood. Rhys's power flowed through me, out of me. The cauldron appeared. Light danced along the fissures where the broken thirds had come together. There. There I would need to forge, to weld, to bind. I put a hand against the side of the cauldron. Raw, brutal power cascaded out of me. I leaned back into him, unafraid of that power, of the male who held me. It flowed and flowed, a burst dam of night. The cracks fizzled and blurred. That void began to slither back in. More, we needed more. He gave it to me. Rhys handed over everything. I was a bearer, a vessel, a link. I love you, he whispered into my mind. I only leaned back into him, savoring his warmth, even in this non-place. Power shuddered through him, wrapped around the cauldron. I recited the spell over and over and over. The first crack healed. Then the second. I felt him tremble behind me, heard his wet rasp of breath. I tried to turn. I love you, he said again. The third and final crack began to heal over. His power began to sputter, but it kept flowing out. I threw mine into it. Sparks and snow and light and water. Together we threw everything in. We gave every last drop. Until that cauldron was whole. Until the thing it contained. It was in there. Locked away. Until I could feel the sun again warming my face. And saw that cauldron squatting before me. Beneath my hand. I eased my fingers from the icy iron rim. Gazed down into the inky depths. No cracks. Whole. I loosed a shuddering breath. We had done it. We had done. I turned. It took me a moment to grasp it. What I saw. Reese was sprawled on the rocky ground, wings draped behind him. He looked like he was sleeping. But as I breathed in, it wasn't there. That thing that rose and fell with each breath, that echoed each heartbeat. The mating bond. It wasn't there. It was gone. Because his own chest. It was not moving. And Reese was dead. Chapter 77. I had only silence in my head. Only silence as I began screaming. Screaming and screaming and screaming. The emptiness in my chest, my soul, at the lack of that bond, that life. I was shaking him, screaming his name and shaking him, and my body stopped being my body and just became this thing that held me and this lack of him, and I couldn't stop screaming and screaming. Then Moore was there, and Asriel, swaying on his feet, an arm hooked around Cassian, just as bloody and barely standing thanks to the blue-webbed siphon patches all over him, over them both. They were saying things, but all I could hear was that last, "I love you," which had not been a declaration, but a goodbye. And he had known. He had known. He had nothing left, and stopping it would take everything. It would cost him everything. He'd kept his shields up so I wouldn't see. Because I wouldn't have said yes. I would have rather the world ended than this. This thing he had done, and this emptiness where he was. Where we were. Someone was trying to haul me away from him, and I let out a sound that might have been a snarl or another scream, and they let go. I couldn't live with this. Couldn't endure this. Couldn't breathe. There were hands, unknown hands, on his throat, touching him. I lunged for them, but someone held me back. "He's seeing if there's anything to be done," Moore said. Voice raw. He. Him. Theisen. High Lord of the Dawn. And of healing. I lunged again to beg him, to plead. But he shook his head. At Moore. At the others. Tarquin was there. Helion. Panting and battered. "He..." Helion rasped. Then shook his head, closing his eyes. "Of course he did," he said, more to himself than anyone. "Please," I said, and wasn't sure who I was speaking to. My fingers scraped against Reese's armor, trying to get to the heart beneath. The cauldron. Maybe the cauldron. I did not know those spells, how to put him in and make sure he came back out. Hands wrapped around my own. They were blood-splattered and cut up, but gentle. I tried to pull away, but they held firm, as Tarquin knelt beside me and said, "I'm sorry." It was those two words that shattered me. Shattered me in a way I didn't know I could still be broken. A rending of every tether and leash. "Stay with the High Lord." The Suriel's last warning. "Stay and live to see everything righted." A lie. A lie! As Reese had lied to me. "Stay with the High Lord. Stay." For there, the torn scraps of the mating bond, floating on the phantom wind inside me. I grasped at them, tugged at them, as if he'd answer, "Stay. Stay, stay, stay." I clung to those scraps and remnants, clawing at the void.